money and markets. The international story, hands down, is the slowdown in the economy. And we're seeing it reported from every corner of the world. In China, consumer prices slowed down, slowest growth in 30 months. In India, economy hit very hard by a blackout. But of course, Asia's big challenge is they're a supplier to the European Union. And with the EU economy slowing, Asia's bound to slow too. We see it, and it's reported everywhere, that the complexity and the cost of central control continue to contribute to slowing of the economy. It's almost a spider's web of Orwellian expense and political risk here in the U.S. It's healthcare rules and uncertainty about UN taxes and various politics. The stories continue to get hammered. I talk from me on a regular basis because I really want to get this notion across. We hear the expression about next year's fiscal cliff in the United States. It's so important to remember that many of these problems are engineered. The fiscal cliff is very much an engineered problem. We've seen $4 trillion missing from the federal government, numerous frauds in Iraq and Afghanistan, $27 trillion of banking bailouts from both the Treasury and the Fed. But one of the biggest problems with the federal budget is that you see the expenses of growing a global empire running through the budget, but the assets not. One of the most important stories this week was an announcement that the U.S. was basically carving up Afghanistan assets. The military and various interests have been mapping them, and now they're planning on auctioning them off and harvesting them in a variety of ways. Of course, that's not running through the U.S. income statement or balance sheet. So the fiscal cliff is very much taking expenses on one side of the equation while the assets and riches of global on the other side. So, you know, in that Afghanistan story, which is up on the blog, I encourage you to take a look at it because it really underscores sort of one of the big lies in this idea of the fiscal cliff. Not to say that we don't need to radically change how we're spending government money in this country. We do. The Department of Justice announced today it would not bring criminal charges against Goldman Sachs and its employees for the mortgage deals that were the subject of its 2010 action. Goldman settled in 2010 with the SEC, but last year in April, U.S. Senator Carl Levin asked for a criminal investigation after the subcommittee he leads spent years looking into Goldman. One employee continues to be under the potential for civil charges. It's interesting that announcement. It's very unusual for the DOJ to announce it won't bring charges. But one of the that announcement followed the big headline this morning that there's been a seismic shift of political contributions from the Democrats to the Republicans by bankers. So it makes you laugh and you say, well, I wonder what the connection is there. More stories about offshore tax havens. I continue to believe that Mitt Romney is doing for offshore tax haven education of the American people what Ron Paul did for currencies. Interestingly enough, the election continues to be and look like a real election. No definitive nod for Romney coming out of the Bohemian Grove, as I said last week. Obama has a slight lead in most polls, not all polls. But into the convention, this is the last week of August and the first week of September, it still looks like there may be serious competitions between factions, and the top seems to be willing to let it continue to happen. The most insensitive comment this week, Bernanke, and I'm usually not that critical of the Federal Reserve Chairman just because I see it as being a machine. But Bernanke loans doesn't cause a crisis. Now, why Megan, it's because the government backs a lot of that or backs with the lenders, it doesn't cause a systemic financial problem in the way that mortgages did. However, if you're $1 trillion worth of young people whose lives are being destroyed, you understand the kind of impact that has on entrepreneurship and innovation in the economy. It'd be horrible to me. It had to be one of the most insensitive comments I've seen in a long time. I warned during the wrap-up at the beginning of the year of the very great importance of keeping your data particularly your digital data, on a machine that you control, and making sure that it's a book that you won't have, not to own it in form. And that brings up two stories that came out this week. Amazon announced, again, more is selling more e-books on Kindle than hard books, and growth is dramatically growing. Amazon claims that more people are buying books, and that total has the ability to buy them in e-book form permits them to buy some in e-books and to buy hard books.
So Steve Wozniak announces horrible problems in cloud-based computing and the dangers of losing privacy as well as archives to cloud computing. And to bring that story home, I'm putting up an article in Wired about a gentleman who was hacked with both his Apple and Google access, and it's a perfect example of how you can literally lose all of your digital data if you depend on these systems. I told you during the wrap-up I had this chilling feeling of what happened if, with a push of the button, somebody could change a paragraph or a page in all the e-books out there. And so I really, what I've discovered is he who archives writes history, and he who has copies of all of his documents preserves assets. I've mentioned many times after Katrina or disasters, the guy who has copies of his financial statements and other records is the guy who is able to assert control over his assets and get his insurance paid. So I would really take a look at that new article that's going to be up on the blog tomorrow, or take a look at what Wozniak said, because I think, you know, the both the privacy and safety issues of these systems are really very much in doubt. There's been a story circulating. It went up at Prison Planet. Alex Jones put it up about fears and concerns about martial law. I don't think that that's – I think that's the military being prepared and people being careful. There are many different reasons why government is concerned about what could and can go wrong, particularly with drought. Water is one of the most sensitive issues you can squabble about. And so I think lots of preparations are underway, but I don't see no plans for martial law. You have to remember, controlling with the military or physical enforcement is a very, very expensive thing for the empire to do, particularly with so many troops needed abroad globally. Google got hit with a big fine by the FTC for violating its privacy strictures and tracking Safari users. It's the story's up on the blog. More squabbling about LIBOR, and I think it's all part of more central control by the banks. We'll be talking with Franklin about the Basel III implementation and what the banks are up to. Finally, we have, oddly enough, Tony Blair suggesting that the UK may leave the Eurozone, and what we're starting to see is more of the traditional tensions between Britain and Germany that brought us World War I and World War II. So more continued strain in the Eurozone, and that's going to continue. Finally, SEC and New York Stock Exchange. The SEC announced it's in settlement negotiations with the New York Stock Exchange, trying to explain to the exchange that it can't give data ahead of the market to private subscribers. I mean, the idea that that would even be contemplated is frightening. What they didn't point out is if you look traditionally at what the defense contractors were who were providing information systems support and digital data support to the SEC and New York Stock Exchange, I doubt that private subscribers is the only leakage going on there. And when you start to look at who's running the cloud, if you will, for all of these different organizations, the world gets very frightening very quickly.